Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight, who's off enjoying himself in Las Vegas at the iHeart Music Festival. But here I am at the Galactic Communications Hub, that is the Coast Studios right here in Los Angeles, California. And it's kind of a strange night here, strange weekend for all of us, because once again, the country feels, you know, a little crazier than normal at the moment, which seems to be the case when I'm here filling in for George or hosting over the weekend. Something strange is going on around the country. So tonight we decided to do things just a little different and bring in a special guest to hang out in the studio, which is a very rare occurrence here at Coast. And tonight we're going to have a conversation. We're going to take some calls. After all, it is Friday night, and that does mean open lines. And that special guest tonight is Steve Murillo. And here in Los Angeles and its UFO community, Steve is the guy. He's the guy. And he has been the guy for more than 15 years. But unless you live here in Los Angeles, you probably don't know Steve. Here he's an icon. And I'm going to introduce the world to Steve Murillo here in just a few minutes. I want everybody to get comfortable, turn down the lights, and get ready. I think I might even be able to talk Steve into taking some phone calls later, because it is Friday night and it is open lines. But I do want to get straight to it. So check this out. Enjoy the bumper music tonight. And yes, there is a theme. And if you think you can figure that out, just post it on Twitter. You can follow me right now on Twitter at J Church Radio. That's what you want to do. And as always, Twitter is live right here to my left. And if you have any questions, post them. And just maybe it'll get read during the show. This is Coast to Coast AM, sitting in for George. I'm your host for the night, Jimmy Church. And I'll be right back with our guest, Steve Murillo. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. He's hanging out in Las Vegas with all of his friends at the iHeartRadio Music Festival. But here we are. Got something really special for everybody tonight. We don't often have guests here in the studio. Normally it's myself and it's Dan. The lights are dark and we're completely alone. And so tonight, it's a very special thing for all of us here to have Steve Murillo with us. Now, Steve attended, a little background on Steve, because it's important that everybody understands Steve's background, because the conversation tonight, it's going to get deep, and you need to understand who Steve Murillo really is. He attended the United States Naval Academy, where he received his Bachelor's of Science degree in Systems Engineering back in 1982. He was commissioned an officer in the Marine Corps, attended flight school, and then served for 7 years of active duty as a jet pilot. After that, he went over to TRW. He was an engineer for a satellite program known as the TDR-SS Flight 7. Then after that, and we're going to talk about this tonight in a comprehensive sense, his life changed forever in 2001, back in May of 2001. And we're going to get to that in a bit. And shortly after that event, he became the state section director for MUFON LA. That's the largest group of MUFON in the world. And it was a position that he held here in Los Angeles for 13 years. And I want you to understand, we're talking about Naval Academy, Marine Corps, fighter pilot, TRW, executive, the guy. And his life changed in 2001. Now he's one of the most respected UFO and paranormal researchers here in Los Angeles. He holds monthly meetings with his current group, which is UPARS LA, which is a paranormal research society. He has interviewed and met everybody out there, all of the authors and researchers. And he is the guy here in Los Angeles that everybody turns to. He has been on Unsealed Alien Files. He's also appearing in my new show on History Channel that will be premiering here shortly in the fall. And I want to welcome, for the first time, to Coast, live in the studio, Steve Murillo. Steve, welcome to Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much. Really appreciate you coming, having me out here. It's such an honor, actually, to be here. So just thanks for bringing me in.
And did all of our assistants and production people take care of you? Did you get your espresso and everything that you need?
I did. You guys are very kind, so thank you so much.
It's very humbling to have you here. And so I do want to move on very quickly because this is an exciting night. Friday nights are special here at Coast. It's open lines. We engage with the audience all night, and you're here. So we get to have a pretty cool conversation and then turn it over to the audience and let them speak to somebody, which is a very rare thing, somebody that has had your experience throughout life, but also does what you do today. And I want to thank you for that, and it's going to be an exciting evening. So I want to go back directly to the Naval Academy and your training there and then going to flight school. Was there ever a mention throughout all of that and in your education about UFOs? Was it mentioned?
Not at all. No.
And why do you think that is?
You know, I don't think it's a topic that most professional military guys would feel comfortable talking about anyway, because there has always been this, cloud over that subject. I mean, look, airline pilots know not to bring that up unless they want their careers to go down the drain, right?
Right.
So, the answer is no.
Now, I'm envisioning flight school for you for the Marine Corps and what that entails, a lot like Top Gun. You know, these are the top guys, right?
It's high pressure training, definitely.
And what about those guys, you know, with the Ray-Bans? Do they talk about UFOs?
Probably not. They might in the back of their minds believe in it, and maybe a couple. I got a story for you. I'll tell it later on. But no, it's a really, you know, these are pragmatic guys. I mean, they go by the book, by the numbers. They're very serious, you know, serious about what they're doing, serious about their work. And there's no conversation except for the mission.
And which was the same for you, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Now, up to that point, had you ever seen anything strange in the skies, or did you have an interest in UFOs?
Not at all.
And in all of your times, with all of your flight hours, which is extensive, did you ever see anything strange or have to report anything?
I never did.
And what if, I feel like a lawyer right now.
I'm on the stand.
Yeah, you're on the stand. What would be the protocol if you did see something strange?
Good question. I bet you there was no published protocol. So my protocol probably would have been to dummy up and not talk about it. And I have a story about a buddy of mine who did see something and opened his mouth in the ready room. And then, he met with a lot of ridicule for several months. So I'll tell that story.
Wait, no, what happened? Go ahead.
Okay, so this is after flight school, of course. It was a roommate of mine, I won't say his name, but he was flying OV-10 Broncos, Camp Pendleton, right here in California, and, you know, minding his own business on a training mission. He was actually doing a check ride, so the guy behind him was more or less evaluating him on certain tasks, okay? So they did the mission. They're on the way back. They're coming in to approach, basically, and he's probably at about 10,000 feet, I think is what he said. He's coming back towards base, you know, broad daylight. And he said this silver saucer metallic object at about 8,000 feet, perpendicular to his flight path, just flies right in front of him, you know. The other guy happened to be looking down at his charts and didn't see it. So my buddy asked the guy, hey, did you see that? See what? Okay.
Right.
So, you know, it shook him up a little bit. He got to the ready room, and, they're debriefing and all that, and then he's sitting there in the ready room talking to his buddies, and he happens to mention what he saw. Okay, and so, of course, for the next 2 or 3 months, they're making fun of him, you know, they're ridiculing him, they're bringing it up and everything, you know, just basically ribbing him, because that's what we do when we're bored, right? So around 3 months pass by. The guy that was in the back seat is on another training mission with another guy, and sure enough, the same object flies in front of him, and this time the guy sees it. So so my buddy's sitting in the ready room one day, and this guy is coming back from a hop, and he's flush white. And my buddy says, what's wrong? And he just looks at him and goes, I think I saw your UFO. So they're out there flying around.
And how did they describe it when you say classic saucer shape?
He described it as like from the Jetsons. That's what those were the words he used, like something you'd see in the Jetsons.
That's incredible. And for you, where you are trying to, you don't want to offend, you want to impress your instructors, you don't want to be the guy that's being grounded, right? You don't want to do any of that. You don't want to upset the apple cart. And so are you learning from that lesson there that even if you did see something, mum's the word, you wouldn't say anything at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that response that most of us have when somebody says they saw a UFO, that response has been trained. It's the normal response would be inquisitive and with an open mind. Well, what did it look like? How big was it? You know, what was it doing? But the response that we've been trained to, you know, to elicit or to bring out is, hey, that guy's a kook.
Right. You know? So, right. Well, and what's interesting here, and I want to paint this picture for the audience the best that we can. You're a fighter pilot, right? And after you leave the Marine Corps, you go to TRW, again, top secret organization. You're working with satellites. You're in the corporate world.
Right.
You're a tall guy. You're good looking. You're a Marine Corps pilot. You know, you have an aura about you that says serious business, right? That's you. And when you're going through the corporate life, dealing with satellites at TRW, was there any mention about UFOs or anything strange while you were there?
Good question. Not professionally, no. I mean, that wasn't talked about at all. You know, nothing about TDRS or any of that had anything to do with UFOs. But I do remember this one engineer is very bright, very, very bright. I mean, you know, he sort of was on his own. He was that smart. They let him do what he wanted to do. And one day this guy walks into my cube and he throws his flyer on my desk. And I remember this thing. It was a yellow flyer, you know, that kind of, you know, really high yellow flyer with the face on Mars. Remember the face on Mars?
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, Sidonia. So, right.
Yeah, Sidonia. And it's black and white, you know, just a Xerox copy. He was making them and throwing them at all the engineers, right? And he's telling me about how, you know, the Viking took this picture, blah, 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 blah. He's telling me all about it, and he left. And I thought, that guy's a loon. Holy smokes, that guy's crazy. You know what I mean? So that was even back then in my mind. I just, you know, that cognitive dissonance was there. You know, I just couldn't fathom that this guy would even talk about something like that.
And so this is what's interesting for me with your experience at TRW with a satellites and being an engineer there, and of course a Naval Academy and flight school. You know what's in space. You know what's flying around in the atmosphere. You know your planes. You can identify anything. It's your hobby, and it's your life too as well, right?
Yeah, it's your life. You live it. I mean, you know all of the Soviet arsenal. You know the Chinese arsenal. You know what a Yak looks like. You know the different jets. You know what they look like from the shadow, you know, from shadow planform, all that stuff. You know what they can do. You know what their capabilities are. So, yeah, you're imbued in that whole industry. You know what's going on, and you know what aircraft can do and cannot do.
So up to this point in your life, everything is cool.
Yep.
Right? Right. It's all good. You're living the life. You're living on the beach.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Southern California, Manhattan Beach, one of the nicest areas in the country, not only in Southern California, but in the entire country. You're living there, and something happened in May of 2001. Take us through that.
Okay, so now I'm out of engineering, got out of engineering in about 89, 90. I was sort of part-timing it as I was an engineer for a while, but got into real estate, got into mortgages. Now, fast forward 10 years later, okay, now this is 2001, okay, and I'm sitting on the rooftop deck of my house. It's 9:30 at night, thereabouts. It was a Tuesday night. I remember it because my wife, because I do karate as one of my hobbies. And it was a night where I'd been fighting very hard. Tuesday night's fight night. Okay, so
right.
I'm all beat up. And we have this hot tub on the roof of our house. And I go up, you know, my wife can see that I'm pretty beat up. So, you know, she walks me up there and hands me a glass of wine, my sweet wife, Pat. Hi, Pat.
I want to say hi to Pat, too. Is it okay to talk about the hot tub on the roof of your house right now? Does she know that we're talking about this?
She does now.
Okay. All right. Hi, Pat.
So okay. She hands me my glass of wine, and she goes back downstairs. She had forgotten hers. So it's 9:30 at night. I'm looking at the ocean, okay? And I see these, what I think are seagulls, approaching, you know, because they're low on the horizon. They're coming towards me like a flock. And I'm thinking, here comes some seagulls. First thought, here comes some seagulls. Second thought is, why is somebody shining a spotlight on seagulls, right? They're that bright. And they're coming directly over my head from the ocean. And as I'm looking at these things, I go, oh, those are not seagulls. And it was a flight of five, one in lead and two on either side echelon. And these things were triangular in shape. If you picture a ninja throwing star with three points on it, that's what these things looked like. Each one was light. They weren't like, they didn't have little twinkly lights on them.
What color were they, Steve?
It was a very coherent white with a slight tinge of orange to it. Okay, slight, very slight color. You know, it wasn't pure white. It was like a slight, like an amberish color to it, slight. Anyway, so these things are going directly over my head, and my mind is trying to take in this and figure out what am I looking at here.
Well, was it the fighter pilot guy trying to figure this out, or was this the pragmatic Steve Murillo guy that is just trying to make sense of something?
Well, probably a little of both is going on there at the time. You know, think about it. You know, I was an engineer by training. You know, it's a very numbers thing. You know what I mean? I'm using one side of my brain all the time. And I'm a mortgage guy. So, you know, that's my, primarily what I like to do is mortgages, numbers. Again, you know, it's very easy for me. And so now I'm trying to evaluate these things, and they're in basically what might be a fighter formation, right? In a tight, like a Blue Angels type formation. And they're flying over my head, going directly east. I follow them. And as I follow these things, three of them split off, and they don't yank and bank like a normal jet. A normal jet has to turn and, you know, yank on its axis and pull, right?
Right.
These things just slid across the sky in perfect formation, didn't move. You know, it was as if they were welded together. They were that tight. Slid across the sky and probably got about a mile separation. The other two kept going straight.
Were they making any sound?
And soundless, of course, right?
Soundless. So when you say going straight, they're going east, like over Los Angeles,
due east, LA. Due
east.
Yeah, they're headed east, LA. Okay, right. So Manhattan Beach, they're going over Hawthorne, you know, that direction. And I'm watching, now my head's totally cranked around, and I'm watching these things. The two continue straight, the three slide off, getting about a mile separation, maybe about two or three potatoes, you know, one potato, two potato. And then the two that had been left behind almost instantaneously slide back into formation. They didn't yank and bank. They just moved across the sky at such a high rate of speed that my mind was just, you know, the lid on my mind was blown off.
How long was the entire event?
I'll say at the max, 10 seconds.
At the max. What is going through your mind at this point?
That's it. Your mind's trying to catch up with what you're observing, right? Because it has, there's nothing that you can, you know, refer it to. It's new information. It's new technology, new information. You're trying to figure out what the heck was that.
Were you thinking us or them at that point? Did UFO come into play? Or were you thinking secret Russian technology?
No, I thought it was something not of this world. I mean, the first thing that I knew was these things had a propulsion system we don't have. They moved as if they had no inertia. You know, they were, I mean, these are things that, you know, later, these are like gut instinct feelings, right? Now I'm putting it to words, but at the time you realize this is not something that I've ever seen before. You know what I mean?
Did you look around? You're on the rooftop. Did you look around for your neighbors? Did you try to find somebody that had also seen this so maybe you can get a second opinion really quick?
Well, so the first thing there was nobody around. It was, you know, 9:30 at night, and, you know, I was up on the roof, and maybe there were some people walking around, cars driving by, who knows. But so the first thing I did was I jumped out of the hot tub, right, dripping wet, ran downstairs yelling at my wife, and, you know, I got on the phone. I called LAX approach, called LAX tower. I asked him, hey, did you see anything on radar? I saw these five things, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course they thought I was crazy, right? Just another coup, calling them up.
Right.
What do I do next? You know, I'm not getting any results from them, so I'm trying to evaluate, okay, what did I see? So and at that point, I'm thinking UFO. So I get on Netscape at the time, and I type in UFO, you know, file report or whatever it was, and a form comes up. And I'm like, there it is. Okay, there's, you know, I can vent here, right? So I fill out this form. And about 2 days later, I get a call from a guy named Bill Casey, who was the director of field investigations for MUFON LA at the time. And he spends about a half an hour to asking me questions, very calm, you know, very soothing voice. Bill has a very, very soothing mannerism to
right,
him. And he's just asking me, and at the end, he just sort of goes, wow, that was a really, really good sighting. I think you had a good one.
What did we're gonna head towards a break right here. It's such an incredible story, and what I find the funny part about it is Pat went downstairs. She missed the entire thing.
She did.
And isn't that the typical story?
That is.
Right? This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. He's over in Las Vegas at the iHeart Music Festival. And our guest tonight is Steve Murillo, live in the studio. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Are you a Coast Insider? I'm a Coast Insider. You can sign up and become a Coast Insider today and listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or a mobile device. You can do whatever you want. All audio streams are delivered in high quality, crystal clear audio. And some of those benefits include you get the last 5 years of audio archives. You get audio streaming or downloadable MP3s. You get media access through the website or mobile app. You can chat with the host and the special guests. You get everything. All for just 15 cents a day. Just go to coasttocoastam.com and you can sign up right there. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is Steve Murillo. Steve is somebody who not only was a fighter pilot, but worked for TRW, ran MUFON here in Los Angeles for 13 years. He runs UPARS today. He's one of the most respected, not only ufologist, paranormal researcher, does a little Bigfoot and some other stuff too as well, but he's the go-to guy here in L.A. I'm introducing him to the world tonight, live from the studio here at Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm sitting in for George tonight. This is Jimmy Church. He is in Las Vegas. He'll be back on Monday. All right. Now, our guest tonight is Steve Murillo. And Steve, after leaving the Marine Corps, he went on to direct, or was the state director for MUFON LA here for 13 years. Got into UFO research and other things paranormal, and now he runs UPARS LA, which is a paranormal research society that covers ufology, but all things that go bump in the night and that are considered paranormal. So it's a further reach from what MUFON does here. And Steve, one of the things that and Steve is live here in the studio with us. I was just reading in Twitter, and a couple of the comments that flew by, and They're the normal questions that pop up with an experience like yours and a sighting like yours. And the first one is obvious, no pictures. And it's a funny thing that happens. Pictures just don't occur. Well, first off, you were in your hot tub, so I'm not sure if you would have had a camera in your hot tub. But why is that? Why don't people get pictures? You didn't get yours.
Right. I mean, well, of course, in 2000, yeah, we didn't have camera phones on our, yeah, they weren't around yet, right? And it's funny, though, but we're seeing more pictures now. We are seeing people turning in pretty decent photos. But even still, a lot of times they're still blurry.
Right.
Okay, that's sort of a phenomenon it goes with this phenomenon. A lot of times the pictures are blurry. You know, some of the old stuff, the Heflin photos, all those, they're black and white, sharp, crisp, right? The one in Oregon from, I forget what the year was.
Right.
37, I think it was. Anyway, those photos are pretty cool because they're black and white, sharp, right? These days, a lot of the stuff is blurry. You know, the hand was shaking or, you know.
Yeah, it's a cell phone situation.
Right, yeah. The optics aren't the best. But even still, it's data. You know, you have to consider it. But the other thing you have to consider in today's, with today's Photoshop, all the CGI stuff we have, there are a lot of people who like to spoof. So
I get that. Else. Well, plus this sighting was only 10 seconds long.
Right. Right.
So, now what was that? Another question on Twitter was, what was the altitude?
Good question. And I have, it's hard for me to say. I can say that I think it was less than 3,000 feet. Okay. I hang glide as another hobby. And so I kind of have that frame of reference when I see gliders coming into the LZ. I can kind of get an idea of how high they are. These things came in low off the horizon. So they weren't way up in the sky. They were low. And when they flew over my head, they were about the size of a car if it was maybe 100 feet away from you or something. I mean, they were good size.
So next for you, and this is what's interesting here, is you jump, you don't mess around. You go feet first into the UFO community. You go to a MUFON meeting, which I don't know what you were expecting there, but I'm assuming none of your friends were in MUFON.
Right.
I don't know what you were expecting to see there or who you know, but that wasn't your world, was it?
At all. You know, Bill Casey, like I said, he had a very nice manner about him, and he was very, you know, he was a gentleman, I could tell. And he said, hey, look, we're having a meeting next week on Tuesday. Can you make it? And I was like, of course, I'll be there. You know what I mean? At this point, I was so keyed up and my mind was so, you know, the veil had been cracked, so to speak. And I was like, I got to find out what's going on here. I got to understand what just happened. So, of course, I went to that meeting and I was engaged and I was listening and I was talking to the board of directors and I was talking to Don Waldrop, who at the time was running it. And, you know, then they, after a couple more meetings, Don invited me to be part of their board. And so I did that for a little bit less than a year. And we had monthly meetings. And around the end there, Don decided he wanted to go to Florida with his soon-to-be wife. So he just basically left, and that spot was open. I got a call from a gal named Georgianne Cifarelli, who Don answered to. She's the state director for this area. And she said, well, they've nominated you as the state section director for MUFON Los Angeles. Do you want the job? And I was like, I'll take it. Sure.
It sounds kind of nuts to anybody that's listening right now, how you would have a career path set. Life is good. You don't need to do this. Were you talking to your friends about this? Were you talking to, you know, what did Pat think? And now you're the UFO guy. I mean, you are, right. You know, you took a complete right turn here.
Yeah. You know, my wife, she's very supportive. And I've got to just say thank you so much to her, you know, for being that way with me. I mean, probably she thought I was losing my marbles, you know, when this all started. And, of course, I didn't talk about it with anybody I knew professionally or, you know, around me in my normal circles because they're going to think you're nuts too, right? And I didn't even know what I had seen. I wanted to investigate it. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to learn as much as I could. And so what did I do? I started reading every single book I could find on ufology, you know, so I read everything. And I, some of the best books, you know, Richard Dolan's books, UFOs in the National Security State 1 and 2, you know, Richard Hoagland's books, everything, Jim Mars, Alien Agenda, all of that stuff, got into it. And, you know, slowly but surely, you know, just turning the pages and understanding and learning and reading about all these cases.
Did you find anything that resembled what you saw over Manhattan Beach? Because your description of it almost, which is like a Mercedes logo, right? That's kind of what I picture.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Flying in a fighter formation that for 10 seconds, you know, shoots right over the beach and then disappears. So it's almost like something you would see in the movies. It's like that crazy and that life-changing.
Right.
And I have never heard a description of anything like that. It's not a typical thing that I have heard. In your research, did you find anything that was similar to the crafts that you had seen?
Not at all. No, I mean, and that's the thing. The other thing about this phenomenon, it doesn't present the same way to everybody. I mean, if you have a multiple witness sighting, yeah, it's going to look the same, pretty much the same to everybody there. But, you know, from case to case, and we investigated hundreds of cases in Los Angeles, you know, I mean, lots. Invariably, it was something different each time. I mean, you know, it did something different. It looked different. It was maybe lights in the sky. Maybe it was an object, but it wasn't shaped like what I saw. What I find is, this is kind of my, you know, my intuiting this stuff over the years, the phenomenon presents in a way kind of meant for the observer. Okay, so these things presented to me in a flight formation, you know, I mean, military formation, so my method of understanding was there, right? Oh, these things are in a military formation. But they don't look military. These are not military planes. Oh, now they just did something that totally tells me that they're not from around here. You know what
I mean? Well, there's another part to this that the audience needs to really understand. Manhattan Beach, Catalina Island, going up north to Malibu, this little triangle here and I hate to use that word, but that's exactly what it is. There have been sightings in this area by everybody, probably in the thousands, for decades.
Yep.
Did you start to find that out too as well, that maybe you weren't that special?
Absolutely. No, I'm not special in any way. The sighting was special in that it was different, but people see these things coming off Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach. I mean, yeah, in the years that I was investigating, just about every beach city around there, people would see San Pedro, a guy had a black triangle fly over his head, described it in detail, flew over him at about 9 p.m. at night. And then in San Diego the next morning at about 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., sorry, an executive for Qualcomm was going on her way to the gym, and this thing was hovering over her condos, and she sat there and stared at it for 15 minutes, silent over the condos.
Lots of USOs in between Catalina, Manhattan Beach, and Redondo.
A really great case where these two gals decided to go skinny dipping in Malibu, 10 o'clock at night. They're older women, you know, and they go out into the waves, and this light appears in the waves and then comes out of the waves. This is their description, and they didn't want to talk about it at first. They were very scared. They came forward maybe weeks after they had the incident, only at the encouragement of their niece, who was into the subject. But anyway, this thing came out of the water, flew over their heads, and it was saucer-shaped or thereabouts. Scared the daylights out of them. They jumped out of the water. They called the police. And what arrived? A black kind of limo, FBI kind of guys arrived, like within minutes, put them, corralled them, put them in their car, took them to somewhere. They didn't really know where, interrogated them basically all night, and then released them in the morning. That's what really scared them, because they were grilled by these guys. So they weren't the cops. They weren't the police. They were somebody else. I think that was an MIB deal.
Right. And that was up in Malibu.
Malibu.
Which, of course, is where Ronald and Nancy Reagan had their famous sighting right there on a PCH.
Right.
And so the amount of sightings that are there, I mean, it's incredible. We could probably go out to Malibu right now, tonight, go hang out and see something. It's a crazy area for that. What do you think is going on? We have the Malibu underwater base that,
right,
we've been investigating for a while, but there's that. We have a Marine Corps installation there. We have a naval installation there. We have the stuff going on in San Diego. There's a naval presence and a submarine presence up and down the coast. We know all of this, but at the same time, we have USOs and UFOs in this area. Why do you think it is?
I have no idea what attracts them here. There are places around the globe where these things are attracted, but do I know what the interest is? I can't say that I do, Joe. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of military installations here, so that might be an interest to them, but they seem to move around with impunity anyway. I don't think they really care about what we're up to. They're up to their own deal. Or they could be man-made. We may have anti-gravity technology, and we may be messing with that, which is a whole other ball of wax, right? We got to talk about free energy technology and how that's not being given to the public if that's the case. So, I could go on and on. I mean, but some bizarre sightings off the coast here.
And we will. You have such a wealth of knowledge. And every time I sit down, Steve is always over at the house for dinner, and he's always got another crazy story. And with the MUFON experience, all of those reports came through you. You got to hear about these reports that were happening here in Southern California. One of the best reports I remember you telling us about was the sighting that was in Studio City.
I was just thinking of that one.
Yeah, yep. And the videotape that was done there.
Yep.
That was a pretty incredible sighting. What happened, and when did that happen?
Okay, so let's see if I can nail the year. I would say it was 2005. Or 2004, I'm going back in memory. And it was three witnesses, two guys who lived in this condo, beautiful condo. One was a doctor, the other was an attorney, and they had a buddy over. And it was night, and this triangular craft was above their balcony, and they filmed it. They caught it on at the time they had a video camera or their cell phone, I think it was a video camera. They filmed it, and what's cool about this thing is it's a black, your classic black triangle with the one in the middle and the three on the corners, three lights. And what's cool about this is you're hearing the witnesses react to it, you know, all three of them. And one's very excited. The other's trying to remain calm. The other guy doesn't know how to react. He's like, what is it? What is it? You know, you keep hearing that. And, you know, the camera's shaking a little bit. And the gentleman who reported was the cardiologist. So he filed his report along with the video. I followed up with a phone call and interview and this and that. And it was impactful for all of them. And
what did you think when you saw the video?
I thought, that's a good sighting. That's a classic, you know, black triangle. That's what they were chasing in the Belgian flap and all that.
Right, right. What was the altitude? Do you think it was like the TR-3B?
It could have been.
Right.
It could have been one of ours, but it was sitting in one place. You know, it was not using the air to stay up. It was had its own, you know, force field or whatever you want to call it, keeping it up.
I wanted to ask you this. That sighting is one of the more incredible ones. Has anybody surfaced from your military days going, dude, what are you doing? You know, has that happened? And what about government interference and the men in black? You're a visible guy with a military background, and here you are doing this in Los Angeles. Have you had any government interference?
Have not, to my knowledge. Maybe some monitoring going on. I mean, I have heard some strange clicks over my phone lines, and I remember one time I was being interviewed on radio on KCRW, I believe, and it was just a daytime interview. I was talking about it, and you know, I'm hearing these clicks, and I'm telling a story about one of the incidents, and then boom, deadline. You know, all the phone lines in my office went dead, and they came back minutes later. You know, going back to the cardiologist for a second, I wanted to finish that story. A follow up. So I thought about this sighting for many years, and then maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years later, I decided to call because I had his number still. He was in my database. So I decided to call and see how he was doing. So I called him. He picked up the line. And I said, hey, this is Steve Murillo with, you know, at the time, MUFON LA, and I'm just following up to see if you've seen anything else. He goes, you know what? I haven't seen anything else, but he said, not a day goes by when I don't think about that thing from when it happened to today when I'm talking to you. And he goes, I felt like it gave me information, but I can't tell you what it is. And that's not the first or last time I'd ever heard that. But it was, you know, this is a guy who, you know, takes people's lives in his hands every day and heals them. But this was something that he now openly talks about and it impacted his life.
Have you tried to reach out to him recently? This is 2016.
No, I have not. I have not.
He sounds like somebody I would like to talk to. If he's a cardiologist, you know, he's a doctor. He may not want to go public, but I would like to talk to him. One of the things before we hit this next break that you had said to me, this is years ago, and you told me about this experience out in the desert during a night watch where you did a little communication with this with this object in the sky, and somebody had told you that he could do this with a laser, and it happened.
Right.
I want you to share that story really quick, because I want to talk about a little bit more after the break with not only my experiences, but what is going on out there with night vision and different objects that are being seen in the sky now that I have and you have and we have seen together too as well. Take us back to that incident in the desert.
Okay, so this is several years back, I'd say probably now 8 or 9 years in the past. Sondra Marsh was part of our board, and Sondra Marsh was what I would call a contactee or an abductee. And oftentimes these folks have the ability, the phenomenon kind of follows them around, and she would lead these groups out into the desert, Joshua Tree, and with the intent of bringing these things in or at least creating a sighting. So we put a little trip together, and about 20 of us go out there with her, and we're sitting up on this hill, and sure enough, at about 3 o'clock, this thing shows up, moves across the sky. I'm sorry, no, she's telling us there's something up, and she's pointing in a certain direction.
Okay, let's stop right there. Okay, we'll pick that up right after the break. This is an incredible sighting. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, live in the studio, Steve Murillo. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM.